What is important to you? Often people try and squeeze this information out of you with cheesy, ice-breaking questions like this. If you were on a deserted island and could only take three things with you, what would you take? All these questions are really seek to expose what's important to us. Like, if you didn't have this, could you survive? Often it's referring to Wi-Fi. And of course, none of us can survive without it seems. But for Paul the Apostle, we would not need to ask him what is important to him after reading 1 Corinthians. We would know plain and crystal clear what's important to him. Jesus, in his gospel, he writes, is of first importance. But Jesus, in his gospel, is that of first importance to you? The book of 1 Corinthians is an amazing book. Absolutely amazing. Paul wrote this book for two reasons. Chapter 1, verse 7, 11, he found out from a lady named Chloe who had a church in her house that there were some issues in this church. And so Paul writes in response to those many issues. And you can read those in chapters 1 to 6. But as well, the Corinthians wrote him a letter, wrote Paul the Apostle a letter, and they had some questions for him. Like he writes in 1 Corinthians 7, 1, now concerning to which the matters which you wrote about. And they wrote to him about the resurrection. Chapter 15 is basically all about the gospel, but one particular part of the gospel, the resurrection. Now I know that, Adam, you're a day's ahead of me here, or 2 days ahead of us. Yes, I am. But before he gets into the resurrection, he talks about this amazing passage of Scripture, verses 1 to 11. And I have 3 points. The gospel is proclaimed, the gospel explained, and the gospel applied. Sorry, I couldn't get an aim there in there, but that's what's going on here. The gospel is proclaimed. Hear verse 1 again of 1 Corinthians 15. I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preach to you. Verse 2. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you. And 15 verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Paul uses 2 words here to speak about how the gospel is proclaimed. First is the actual word proclaimed. Proclaiming or announcing the good news. It's no secret that Paul was not silent about Jesus. Not silent like some of us. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus while he was on his way to actually kill, hurt Christians, put them in prison, but he met Jesus. Jesus struck him blind, and his life was changed forever. And at that moment forward, his life goal was to make Jesus known. Second word that's used here is delivered. This word means to hand over or hand down, meaning that Jesus and his message, his teaching is delivered. It is taught, spoken, written. Words are used to communicate who is Jesus and what he has accomplished. But what I want to highlight here is the proclamation of the good news is something that is of first importance. I've looked at this passage. I've even preached on it 3 times. But when I looked at it this time, this just jumped out at me. This message was of first importance. Well, that means to pertaining to prominence, first, foremost, most important, most prominent. Basically, the very most important thing. This is the same word that Jesus uses towards his greatest commandment, which is to love whom? You can speak back to me, it's okay. Love God with all your heart. It's the same word that's used there. Jesus Christ and his gospel was the most important truth to Paul. You see it if you've read Acts. People get just so mad at him for preaching Jesus Christ. People want to kill him, but this truth is so important to him, he can't keep his mouth shut. But our Canadian culture even says that Jesus is offensive and we can't talk about him. Even our Amazon talking machine, Alexa, when it came out, would not answer who is Jesus, which is remarkable. Maybe we're smarter than computers, smarter than we thought we were. But Paul would have been a very bad Canadian. He continues to preach Jesus and his message, even though people are offended and in extreme cases want to kill him. So the gospel is made known, spoken. Next, the gospel is explained. Paul explains the gospel with four truths in this passage, and guess what? All these truths are in every single sermon that he preaches in the book of Acts. First is the death of Jesus. 15 verse 3. Jesus died. We know that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all proclaim that he physically died on a cross as a man. We know in the Gospel of John that Jesus bowed and voluntarily gave up his spirit. John 19, verse 30. We know that when the soldiers come to break the legs of Jesus, they realize that he's already dead, and then a soldier takes a spear, stabs him in his side, and water and blood flow out, thus revealing he is truly dead. And we know that when Jesus was on the cross, that he bore the cup of the anger of God towards sin. The death of Jesus reveals to us that God takes sin seriously. God also takes grace seriously. Although we're enemies of God, separated from God, God in his grace sends his Son to die for us. Jesus, in his love, comes to the earth to die for us. So that's the first part. The second part that's explained in the gospel here is the resurrection. But Jesus did not stay dead. God, in his power and his greatness, on the first day of the week or the third day, raised Jesus to life. But many people struggle with this miracle. They say to me, miracles are impossible because they're miracles. Which is hardly considered a good argument. I think of what I was told when I was a kid. Adam, you're stupid because you're stupid. And I should have, if I was smarter, I would have said, that's a circular argument. And you're begging the question. I guarantee any bully, when they hear that, they run away. But that's what people say about the resurrection. But I have one thing to say. If God can create the universe out of nothing, he can certainly raise his Son from the dead. Amen. Next part is that the death and resurrection of Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. Note that in 15 verse 3 and 4, it says he died according to the scriptures. He was raised according to the scriptures. There are so many passages, I could be quoting them till mid-afternoon at least, maybe even longer, all night long, the passages and explaining them to you about how Jesus' death and resurrection is fulfilled in the Old Testament. But specifically his cross, Paul possibly could have been thinking about Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Jesus, by means of his cross, his death, brought us peace with God, and by his wounds we are healed. The resurrection of Jesus is talked about several times in the Old Testament as well. Jesus' body will not corrupt, but God will raise him up. Like Peter proclaims in Acts 2 in his sermon about the resurrection, he quotes Psalm 16, verse 10. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let your Holy One see corruption. Final part of the gospel is that there were many eyewitnesses to Jesus, and we heard that at the end of chapter 15. Again, why would this even be included in something that's in great importance? Because if you can believe it, the Bible was written before even the days of the printing press. which is ancient technology. It's written before the days of internet, cell phones, YouTube, camcorders. You can't pin Jesus' teaching on Pinterest back then. And so the fact that there were eyewitnesses, that people observed his ministry, his death, resurrection, is very important. There's always been fake news. We just hear more about it now. But if you had two or three credible witnesses that were reliable, that would establish an event was true. Well, here in 1 Corinthians, we have hundreds of credible witnesses that saw death, resurrection of Jesus. So now we have gospel applied. Paul here speaks about four things in 1 Corinthians 15, four responses to the truth of Jesus Christ. Four. Number one, they received the gospel. He says that in 15 verse 1. These Corinthians embraced Jesus and his work as something that was important. They made the good news of Jesus their hope. They, I guess in more cooler terms, they owned it as their own. They owned it. Second, they took their stand on the gospel. This means that the Corinthians remained in Jesus Christ and his message. They built their lives upon the foundation of Jesus and his good news. The good news of Jesus and Jesus was the foundation of their very lives. They took their stand upon it. Third, they held to the gospel. The Corinthians were convinced of Jesus. This is sheer convinced. This is, I'm convinced, and I believe it. It was something that they grasped and adhered to. And finally, they believed the gospel, which Paul says twice, once in verse 2 and once in verse 11. I just want to say something about belief, though. It's become kind of a funny word in Canada. It means that basically you believe in things that are fairy tales, because you often hear in Canada, I believe, and then it's like Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and all sorts of other things. It's not wrong to use the word belief, but just be aware that when you use the word belief, it might be a different meaning than you think belief is. The definition of belief in the biblical terms is trust in the revealed word of God and God's character. You trust in God who is real and has revealed himself and spoken to us in the word of God. It's a trust that God fulfills his promises, his word is true. And specifically in this section, it's true that he can redeem us and save us from our sins. So we had the gospel proclaimed. It's proclaimed of first importance. The gospel explained death, resurrection. According to the scriptures, many people saw Jesus and the gospel applied. Receive the gospel, take your stand, hold to the gospel, believe the gospel. Now we can apply it to our hearts. This passage written by Paul in 1 Corinthians was something that he preached and delivered to the Corinthians and, in fact, all the churches. And it was the most important truth that he had preached. The question for you, is this gospel the most important thing with your relationship with God? Is this gospel the most important thing to your church? Church leaders here, is the gospel of Jesus and the teaching, his death, his resurrection, something that you always put in the forefront of your church? Is it first importance in your church? If someone was teaching that Jesus did not die for your sins, does that upset you? Or do you say, well, that truth is good for them. It's good for me, but it's not good for them. That shows that the death of Jesus really isn't important to you. If a church or a minister or any Christian denies the resurrection, or so-called Christian, do you say, well, they're good people, so they're Christian? Or do you actually have sorrow that they've actually taken the Christian faith and destroyed it? Because they've gutted the truth of the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. As a follower of Jesus, Paul is clear. We need to major on the majors and minor on the minors. The good news of Jesus Christ is a major. It's of first importance. Paul clearly practiced what he preached. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, you see that. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Wow, he knew nothing when he came there except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel was so important to Paul that he didn't even baptize a lot of people. Whoa. Baptism took second fiddle to preaching the gospel because he knew that God had called him to preach the gospel. And he says, "I'm thankful I didn't baptize hardly any of you." And then he admits to baptizing some of them, and he talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. This morning, if you're outside Jesus, if you've not acknowledged the importance of Jesus and His work, acknowledged your sin before a holy God, believe me, Jesus and His death is very, very important. Jesus deals with our greatest need. It's even higher above the what they call whatever his name was, hierarchy of needs. I forget it now. It's at the top, our need to be reconciled back to God. So leave your sin. Turn from your sin. Receive, embrace, believe, hold on to, build your life upon Jesus Christ and His work on your behalf on the cross. Canada, when you think about this, it's so wonderful. Canada even gives us a day off to think about Jesus' death. It's actually amazing still. We get this day off to ponder His death. So think about His death, for those of you who do not know Him. And think about what it means for you today. As Christians, I speak to you now. Is the gospel, again, I ask the question again, of really of first importance to you and your church? Is the gospel important enough that you would remind yourself of it every single day? Because you're never going to outgrow the gospel because you're continually a sinner. You're redeemed, but yet you still have that sin nature within you. If you claim it's important, is it really important enough that you would actually share it with your coworkers, neighbors, and whoever doesn't know Jesus? Is it that important to you? I wish I could sing good. But I think of the song, "People Need the Lord." But we could change to "Dryden Needs the Lord." But no one's going to know about the Lord unless Christians see Jesus of first importance. If we don't talk about Him, no one's going to really see Him. We don't make Him known. If we don't make Him important in our lives, in our churches, I pray that He could be important, so important in our lives, so important in our churches, and so important that we could share His grace, because Dryden needs the Lord. Amen.